Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we continue our study in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we have come to that interesting list of unrighteous people in verse 9. Now you recall that the whole subject is the right use of the law. And Paul says to Timothy in verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. And then in verse 9 he says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for, and he lists a number of categories of open sins and sinfulness that would indicate that a person falls into the category of one who needs the law. So he says, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So we have been looking at this list and have realized that it probably divides into three categories. The first two items refer to those who reject all law, all authority, whatever it may be, the lawless and the insubordinate. And then the next four items refer to those who violate the first table of the law, the ungodly, sinners, unholy, profane, all seem to have to do with our vertical relationship between man and God, and therefore violate the first table of the law. You shall have no other gods before me, and so forth. All those that pertain to our relationship with God above. And then the remaining several items on the list refer to the second table of the law, and to those who violate the commandments that relate to man's relationship with man. And so we come now to those who are murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. After dealing with the profane that have to do with those who have no regard for sacred things and thus have to do with their relationship with God, but now murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, which we might be inclined to put into the category of a violation of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder, but probably this would better fit into the category of violations of the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. Because this word that is translated in our Bible, my Bible, murder of father and murder of mother, is from a Greek word that means to smite or to thresh. It was used in classical Greek of murdering father or mother, patricide or matricide. But the word is bigger than that, and it can refer to any unnatural treatment of parents or dishonoring of parents in a flagrant manner. So the Greek that is used, the Greek words that are used, do not require that it go so far as murder, though it would certainly include that. But it can refer to a lot of acts of dishonoring parents in any kind of an obvious and flagrant manner. So the law is made for people like that, who do not honor their parents, but rather dishonor them in a very open and obvious way. And then we come to the sixth commandment, because we come to the word manslayers, and that's the word that has to do with murder. It's a compound word, and it means a murderer, or as we would say in our day, homicide. A manslayer, someone who is guilty of homicide. And that, of course, covers the sixth commandment, thou shalt do no murder. And then we come to the seventh commandment, which has to do with adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And here we have listed for fornicators and for sodomites. Fornicators. The Greek word means those who indulge in fornication. That is, fornicators, exactly what we have here. And it's from a Greek word that means illicit sexual intercourse. It sometimes stands for adultery, but sometimes refers to other illegal acts of sexual intercourse that we would put outside the technical category of adultery, because it doesn't maybe involve married people, but it does involve immoral activity between people who are not married to one another. And the Bible is very clear and very simple in this matter, and it just needs to be reiterated in this day when virtually anything and everything goes, in which Bible standards of morality seem to have been thrown out the window, and nobody pays, well, I shouldn't say nobody, God's people pay attention to them, but most of society pays no attention to them anymore. And even many professing Christians seem to think that their moral standards come from society rather than from the Bible. And if society says something's okay, then it's okay. As if what God has to say about it really doesn't matter. It's only what society thinks about it. And where did we start getting our standards from? A fallen society. A depraved society. From a society that has been plunged into sin and sinfulness ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden. When did we start taking our standards from a society like that? Well, I suppose ever since we decided we didn't want to follow God's standards. But God's standard is very simple. It's stated in the book of Hebrews. It says marriage is honorable in all. That is, in all the relationships, particularly the physical, the sexual relationships that take place within marriage. Marriage is honorable in all. And the marriage bed, undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Fornication in Bible terminology being the bigger word, and adultery being the more narrow word. Fornication would include adultery, but adultery would technically apply only to those who are married, whereas fornication applies to those both who are married and those who are unmarried, and covers any sexual activity outside of marriage. It's as simple as that. And this tells us that the law is made for people who are involved in sexual activity outside of marriage. And that word fornication would be big enough to include sexual activity between male-female relationships or between same-sex relationships. But just to make sure that there's no mistake about it, another word is used to make it clear that same-sex relationships outside of marriage are also condemned as well. And so we've got for fornicators and we've got for sodomites. I think I understand why there's such a fierce determination in our day to legalize same-sex marriage. It's because, in spite of the fact that most of our society says they pay no attention to God and the Bible, and they don't consider that to be relevant anymore, I think there still is in the heart of man this moral code placed there by God, and I think most men and women do know that sexual activity outside of marriage is wrong, and I think most men and women do know that same-sex relationships are wrong, and therefore those who are determined to follow homosexual or lesbian type relationships seem to be determined to legitimize these relationships by marriage, even though it's not marriage as the Bible defines it, as God defines it. The Bible is very clear that God is the one who instituted marriage, and God instituted it between a man and a woman. Biblical marriage is marriage between one man and one woman. And it can never be anything else, because that's the way God defined it. The God who established it defined it that way. And it doesn't matter what you do with it, you're not going to legitimize that which God says is illegitimate. But because the Bible tells us that marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers or fornicators and adulterers God will judge, there's some who say, well, we'll legitimize what God calls illegitimate by establishing marriage. If marriage is honorable in all, then we'll establish same-sex marriage and make our dishonorable relationships honorable. At least that's what I think is the driving force behind it. It can't be done. No matter what man does, no matter what society does, no matter what the courts do, no matter what the government does, you can't make it right. You can't make it honorable because God says it isn't. But we live in a day when we are playing with standards and playing with definitions and playing with morality and playing with right and wrong and determined that we're going to make that which is wrong right. And we're going to declare it right and dare anybody to say otherwise. But the Bible is very clear. And when you hear people say, well, the Bible doesn't condemn homosexual relationships, it only condemns, and boy, I've heard so many different things. They'll tell us, for example, that what's really going on in the book of Genesis when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah was that those people were inhospitable toward strangers. And so that's why fire and brimstone fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, yeah, sure. God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah because they didn't extend hospitality to strangers. I mean, you've really got to stretch things to say that with a straight face and to think people will believe it. But, you know, when lies become accepted, then pretty soon people are ready to believe a lie. But I've heard that one. And I've heard the Bible doesn't condemn homosexual relationships. It only condemns promiscuous homosexual relationships. But committed ones, the Bible doesn't condemn. Well, I'm sorry, but homosexual relationships called here sodomy. Where did that word come from? Sodom. What was the sin that God destroyed when he destroyed Sodom? What was the sin that God was judging? Sodomy. And sodomy is strongly condemned in Scripture. And though it is a current battleground for the church, nevertheless, God's word is very clear. And those who commit fornication and those who are involved in sodomy are the very ones who need the law of God. The law is made for people like that. We know the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites. That's what God's word says. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.